Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Joshua chapter 21. We are now on the kind of final stretch here of our Joshua series. I've kind of been in this long-distance run, walking through this series in Joshua. We've been in it now for 6 months. Now, you know, we've had some side things along the way, but it's been 6 months since we've started this series, and we are now down to our final weeks, okay? We have this week, and then we're going to wrap up the last three chapters next week. And my hope is just that we finish strong, right? We don't ever want to start things and just kind of fizzle out. We want to finish strong and let the Lord continue to challenge us as he's been doing, at least for me, this entire time. You know, I hope you guys have been getting something out of this series. I know God has been speaking to me, and maybe this series is just for me. I don't know. You guys might have it all together, and God's just like, okay, Darren, we got to fix you. I don't know. But I hope that he's been impacting you through this series as much as he has been for me. And we're going to just continue to finish strong over the next few weeks. This morning, we're actually going to talk about promises. And that's such an interesting thing, you know, promises. You know, how well do we do with promises? Are we good at keeping our promises, or are we good at breaking our promises? Because we know we live in a world where oftentimes we see the promises broken really easily. I want to share a humorous illustration with you to kick things off this morning. It says this: a dying man gave each of his friends, a lawyer, a doctor, and a pastor, an envelope containing $25,000 in cash, okay? So this dying man, he gives each of them $25,000 in cash. He told each of them that he wanted them to hold on to the envelopes of money. And when he died, he wanted them to place them in his coffin at his funeral. So he would be buried with this $75,000, right? A little later, the man passed away, and the three friends each placed that envelope in his coffin. Well, several months later, the pastor, convicted, confessed to his other friends. He says, I only put $15,000 in the envelope, and I sent the rest to a missionary in South America. The doctor then confessed, well, my envelope only had $10,000 in it because I donated to a medical charity. The lawyer, he was outraged. He said, am I the only one who kept his promise to our dying friend? I want both of you to know I placed in that coffin an envelope with my own personal check for an entire $25,000. Pretty good, huh? The reality is we live in a day and an age where people don't always do a good job of really keeping their promises, right? We try to say, oh, I kept it, but we bend it and change it, and we don't really keep our promises. We fail to stand by our commitments. But the good thing is, even though we may live in a world where people don't always fulfill their commitments, we serve a God who always does. We serve a God who's faithful to fulfill his promises. Now, I believe we need to be people who are striving to do our best to keep our word, right? We shouldn't make promises if we don't intend to keep them. But I also know the reality is we're human, and we're going to fail at times. We're going to mess up. But God doesn't. He will never fail us. As I was studying, I read about a missionary in China before World War II. It said, as I read this, it said, when the Japanese army invaded northern China, she was forced to flee Yangcheng, I think I'm saying that correctly, taking with her 100 orphans. As she led the orphans into the mountains, she became concerned and worried whether they would ever make it to safety. After a sleepless night, a 13-year-old orphan girl, encouraged the missionary by reminding her of God's great miracle with Moses and the parting of the Red Sea. But I am not Moses, replied the missionary. Of course you aren't, the girl said, but God is still God. I love that childlike faith. God is still God, right? We may fail and we may mess up, but God is still God. I'm human. I'm not perfect. The church, whether we want to admit it or not, we're full of sinners. That's what we are, right? I'm one of them. But God is still God, and He will always keep His promises. As we draw near to the end of Joshua here, you've seen throughout this book, God do amazing things for His people, right? Throughout these last 6 months, we've seen these amazing things that God's done for His people. Well, this morning, as we come to Joshua 21, I want to take a look just at three scriptures. It's actually the last three scriptures of Joshua 21. These scriptures, I think, are a powerful summary statement that tells us an amazing truth about the God of Israel, an amazing truth about the God we serve today. The God of Israel is the same today as He was yesterday, right? Something that was as amazing back then is just as amazing today. And we want to talk about the fact that God finishes what He starts. The fact that, as we already said, God keeps His promises. Now, the first part of chapter 21 is the final distribution of the land. Okay, we're not going to read it, but I just want to share with you. It's the final distribution of the land. It talks about the cities that were now then given to the Levites, right? To the priests of Israel. They didn't get their own separate land. They got cities inside the other lands. And so the beginning part shares with us this final distribution of the land. And here's the thing. This final distribution of land changed the promised land to now a land of reality. It was no longer a promised land. It was a land of reality. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can read along with me. We're going to read out of Joshua chapter 21. And we're going to read the last three verses here, verses 43 through 45. This is what it says. So the Lord gave Israel all the land He had sworn to give their forefathers. And they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as He had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. And verse 45, not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every single one was fulfilled. And that word every in the Hebrew means every. It means all. All of His promises were fulfilled. God prepped. God kept His promises. He kept His promises and they were fulfilled. And the reality is God will fulfill the promises in our life as well. Now it may take time for Him to fulfill those promises, right? You got to remember this promise was first given really to Abraham, okay? So it was some, you know, we don't know exactly, but some, you know, probably 400-500 years that had passed before this promise was fulfilled. But God's faithful to fulfill His promises. But it's in His time and not ours, and we have to remember that. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. Plus, oftentimes the reason it takes longer is because we get in the way, right? You know, this happened with the Israelites. We've talked about this numerous times through Joshua. They could have had this promise fulfilled 40 years earlier, but their lack of faith in God prolonged the fulfillment of this promise. They wandered for 40 years in the desert. The thing we have to remember and hold on to is that God will always finish what He starts. I love a verse. Philippians 1:6 reminds us that He who began a good work in us is what? He's faithful to complete it. God doesn't quit on anything or anyone. and we can have confidence in His promises. Joshua 21, 42-45 tells us a lot about God's promises. This morning, I want to share with you just four things that we can learn from these scriptures about His promises. Four things about God's promises. The first one is this. God's promises are gifts. It says here in the beginning of verse 43, so the Lord gave, right? He gave them the land. It was the gift. It was a gift. Now, why is this significant? It's significant because they didn't pay for it, right? They didn't earn it. They didn't have to do anything for it. It was given to them simply because of God's love for each of them. And God loves us. He created us. He loves each of us, and He has given us promises as well. But the key is, just like the Israelites, we have to take possession of those promises. You see, verse 43 starts by saying He gave them the land, but it ends by saying they took possession of it, right? They took the gift and settled there. What good are promises of God if we don't grab hold of them? What good are the promises of God if we don't take claim to those promises? Now, my mother-in-law, I love my mother-in-law, great woman of God. She's known for starting her Christmas shopping early, okay? January, you know, at times, okay? She starts her Christmas shopping early. She loves to buy gifts for people and do those kind of things. And it doesn't matter what time of the year it is. If she sees a gift that she thinks would be nice for someone, she'll often buy it and save it for, you know, either Christmas or their birthday, whichever comes first, okay? And so she will be out there and she'll do these things or buy these things and put them in her closet and hold them for Christmas time or whatever for whoever it is. Well, I remember several years ago we were down visiting Stacy's parents and we were at her mom and dad's house, and her mom came walking out of her room with this kind of funny smile on her face. And she began to tell us how she had just found this gift that was for Stacy. It was in her closet and had kind of fallen back behind things. And so she was straightening that day. She found it. And it was a gift that she had bought for Stacy for Christmas. It was in Christmas wrapping, you know, with one of those little tags, a stick-on tags, and it said Stacy, you know, on it. She had bought it for Stacy for Christmas. But unfortunately, forgot about it, or it fell behind and kind of lost it. And so now she's like, so here, I want to give you this gift that was supposed to be yours back at Christmas time. But here's the thing. That gift was Stacy's, right? It was wrapped. There was a tag on it. It had her name on it. It was Stacy's. That gift was for Stacy. But it didn't mean anything to her until she was able to take possession of it, right? Until she was able to open it. It didn't do Stacy any good lost in the back of her mom's closet. You see, the reality is God has promises with our names on it. Promises for each and every one of us. They're just sitting there waiting to be opened. But if we fail to open them and take possession of them, we'll never get to experience those promises in our life. God's promises are a gift, and He wants us to grab hold of them. The second thing that we can learn from these scriptures about God's promises is that, number two, God's promises lead to rest. It says in verse 44, the Lord gave them rest. I would encourage you to underline that word in your Bible. Circle it. Make that word a priority, right? Think about this. I mean, how much do we value rest in today's world? We live in a busy, overly tired world, do we not? We're always going. If there is a word or I should say, is there a word more hopeful than the word rest? I know for me, I've been in a crazy, the last couple weeks I've had this, and it's like, oh, once I get past this, then I can rest. And just the thought, just as I say that word, it just brings like peace. Then I can rest, right? Think about it. How many of us could honestly use more rest? You know, if we're honest, most of them, oh, yeah, I could totally. You know, it's funny with kids because, you know, taking naps and stuff. No, I'm like, trust me. Trust me. When you're older, you will wish, you know, every job should have a rest, should have a nap time, don't you think? All right, between here and here is nap time. Everybody go take a nap. Wouldn't that be great? We live in a world that often causes us to be overworked, to be overstressed. Whether it's physical stress, whether it's emotional stress, relational stress, right? Because why is that? The relational stress often comes because we don't have enough time for our relationships, because we're so busy. My encouragement to you this morning is that the Lord promises us rest. If you remember, there have been many different times in the last sections of Joshua where we've read and it said they had rest from war, right? And God promises us rest as well. Matthew 11:29. I think we have it. I put it up on the screen. It says this. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. God's promises lead to rest. As we seek the Lord and as we hold strong to the promises of His Word, like the Israelites, we too can find rest. And here's the cool thing. Listen to this. As I was thinking about rest, as I was processing, as I was studying, as I was beginning to put this message together, the Lord led me to Matthew 8:24. Okay, Matthew 8:24. I think we have that too to put up on the screen. I'm going to read it to you. Let me read you Matthew 8:24. It says, suddenly a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Now think about this. There's this massive storm, right? The boats are rocking, you know? The waves are crashing. Water's coming over the edges. The disciples are panicking. They are freaking out. They think they're going to die. And what's Jesus doing? He's just sleeping. It's like Jesus knows every workspace should have a time of rest, right? Hey, I've been working. I'm going to have my rest. He's sleeping. Jesus shows us here, I believe what the Scripture is showing us, why God led me to this, is that we can even find rest in the midst of the storms. We can find rest in the midst of the storms. We find it through the Lord. In the midst of the chaos and the busyness of this world around us, God has promised us that we can find rest in Him. Sometimes for me, that's what Sunday is. Busy, crazy week, and we come and we just get to worship the Lord, and I'm able to experience rest in Him. I'm able to lay all that stuff that we've gone through throughout the week at His feet and just rest in Him. God's promises are a gift. God's promises lead to rest in our life. And thirdly, God's promises give us strength. At the end of verse 44, it says, not one of their enemies withstood them. You see, God gave them the strength to overcome their enemies. My favorite scripture for this, I think, is Philippians 4:13. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? Or depending on whatever, who gives us strength. He is our strength. He gives us strength. How? Through His promises. Let me read a promise to you. How can you not find strength in this promise? Listen to this scripture in Isaiah 40. I'm going to put it up on the board as well. Isaiah 40:29-31. Listen to this. This is a promise of the Lord to us. It says, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know what this is? This is the kind of strength that we saw in Caleb. We go back a few weeks or however long it was where we talked about Caleb and getting the land that God was giving him. At 85 years old, right? At 85 years old, he was ready to go and wield the sword. He was ready to go to battle. Why? Because he held on to the promise of the Lord. What gave him the strength at 85 to pick up that sword and say, "Let's go"? It's the promise of the Lord. God had told him that he would give him that land. And he allowed God's promises that were given to him to be the strength to push forward and to go forward. What are the promises that God's spoke to you? Has God spoke promises into your life? Allow those promises to be your strength to push forward. You know, I won't give you more than you can handle. What about that promise? Let that be that promise that gives us the strength to push through when we want to quit. And if you can't think of any promises that God's given to you, I can tell you that there are a bunch in this book. They're all through here. If we open this book and we begin to read, we are going to see the promises of God. And if we see those promises, we can grab hold as we see how God did the amazing things time and time again, right? Through Joshua, we've seen God faithfully come through, hold up His promises. That should be an encouragement to us that gives us strength to press on and strength to persevere in this thing called life. God's promises are a gift. God's promises lead to rest. God's promises give us strength. And last, but certainly not least, God's promises are always fulfilled. God's promises are always fulfilled. Verse 45, it says, "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." What an amazing truth about the God that we serve. Because here's the reality. A promise, it's only as good as the ability and character of the one who makes the promise, right? You know? Who's making that promise, right? How many times have you heard the word, consider the source, right? Who's making that promise? A promise is only as good as the ability and character of the one who makes the promise. And the cool thing for us is we know that God is one who makes good on His promises. God was faithful to His promises to the Israelites, and He'll be faithful with His promises to us. Now, I think it's important, though, that we take a look at the process and the journey that Israel went through to see these promises fulfilled. Because in our mind, oh yeah, God will fulfill my promise, and we imagine how that's going to look, and it's going to be, right? Okay, God, give it to me now, right here, ready, I'm ready, good, you know, right? We have our own mind set of how that happens. But let's kind of look at the journey that the Israelites went through. There are a few things that I think we might want to note underneath this promise. And the first is this. It wasn't fulfilled overnight. Okay? We all want that, right? Wouldn't that be great? Instant, right? We live in a, I used to say microwave society, I call it now high-speed internet society, right? We want things, I want to be able to pull out my phone and have the answer right now. I want to be able to see right now. But it wasn't fulfilled overnight. I've mentioned this before, but scholars figured that it took about 7 years from when the Israelites crossed the Jordan until they took possession of the land, okay? 7 years. Now, if you go back to the original promises I shared earlier, you know, that was given to Abraham, it's been hundreds of years that have passed since this promise was first given. And the thing we have to realize, God is always faithful to fulfill His promises, but it's also always in His time, not ours. It's in His time, not ours. We have to learn to be patient. Have patience. Don't be in such a hurry. Some of you guys remember Music Machine? Learn all those wonderful things. Some of us have to learn patience. And we have to learn to trust in the Lord, right? It's trusting that His timing is right. In other words, we can't get discouraged when things don't happen in our timing, when things don't happen in our way. God is faithful, and He will fulfill His promises in our lives. And we need to hold on to those promises and allow them to be our hope in those times when we haven't yet seen those promises fulfilled. The second thing that I think we need to note about this promise fulfilled is this: is it didn't come without struggles. Right? We want them just to be easy. I just want the easy track, Lord. I just want to go here, and I don't want to have face anything. I just want You to give it to me, you know, just easy, right? But it didn't come without struggles. The Israelites experienced obstacles and challenges along the way. There were wars and there were conflicts that had to be fought. They experienced pain and heartaches along the way. But through all the challenges and struggles, they found the strength to what? To keep going. The most amazing Christians are those who keep going. The ones that choose not to quit, especially when it'd be so easy to do so. Especially when there's that little off-ramp that allows you to get off, right? To quit. The ones who trust in the Lord and allow His promises to be fulfilled even in the midst of challenges. This promise that God fulfilled didn't come without some struggles and some challenges. And the third thing is this, it also didn't come without some failures. The sin of Achan, if you remember way back to the beginning when we started this series, the deception of the Gibeonites, those are the first ones that come to mind when I think of some of the failures that the Israelites went through. Here's the thing though, they failed, but God didn't. And I think this is a big one for us to grab hold of, because we're going to mess up, we're going to fail at times, but it doesn't mean that God's going to give up on us. And it doesn't mean that God's going to fail us. Now, it may prolong the time that it takes to fulfill His promises. We talked about that earlier a little bit, the 40 extra years, right? And there's probably more in there that prolonged the promise. It may prolong it, but He will fulfill His promises. You know, it's funny. A lot of times when I think about this journey that we're on, I think a lot of times that God is a lot like a navigational system. You know, those GPSs you put in your car. A few years back, my wife and I got one of those. Stacy used her birthday money to buy a GPS for our car. And I love it, right? You don't have to have the directions written out. You don't have to have, you know, the maps and all that kind of thing. It just kind of guides you to where you need to go. And it's a cool thing, technology that we have. But the thing I love about them is that when you make a wrong turn, it doesn't yell at you and tell you you're an idiot. You idiot, you missed the turnoff. What were you thinking? You know, that's not how those things respond, right? What does it do? It just says, recalculating. You know, and it's just, you know, it depends. GPS, but you know, ours is nice, you know, it's a woman's voice. It's very sweet. Recalculating, right? And then what does it do? It says recalculating, and then it gives you an alternate route to get back on course. it shows you how, oh, go up, either make a U-turn or go up to this street, come back, and ultimately it goes to get you back on course. And I think it's a perfect picture of how God works with us, right? When we fail and get off course, he doesn't yell at us, "You idiot, how many times have I told you?" A lot of times that's how we picture God, right? And what did I say a few weeks back about God the Father? Sometimes that's because that's maybe how our dad spoke to us or whatever. That's how we picture it. But that's not how the Lord speaks to us. He doesn't yell at us, "You idiot, how many times have I told you?" You know, he says, "Recalculating. It's all right, Darren. Just listen to me and I'll guide you right back onto the path." Isn't that how the Lord works with us? He lovingly shows us what we need to do to get back on course. Yeah, we may have failed. We may have prolonged, right? Because it now, you know, that GPS, when I made that turn, it said I was going to get there at 4:59. Well, shoot, now I'm getting there at 5:04. Oh, I lost 5 minutes. If you're like me, that drives you crazy, right? It may have prolonged the fulfillment of the promise, but he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Let me just say this real quick. It's in here. Maybe share this, maybe not. I don't know. We're running short on time when I like to get out, but I'm just going to share this because I think it's important. Some of you know my story. I was raised in a good Christian home. I was high school, junior in high school, I had a call upon my life. The Lord called me to be a youth pastor. That's what I'm going to do. I get out of school looking at opportunities, didn't have money for college, some of that stuff, so I went in the military to get money for college. With this idea, I'm going to go get money for college, get out, be a youth pastor. That's my heart and my desire. Went in the military, and I failed big time. I messed up, man. I started doing and living a life that wasn't what God called me to do, doing things that I knew I shouldn't do. And what was interesting, there was I'd come back home on leave, and I was thinking, I got to get my life together. But again, I'm right back into those places I shouldn't be. And it was this late one night, at like 11:30 at night, and I'm pulling out of a place that I shouldn't have been. Okay, you can imagine. It was a bar that I should not even have been at. And I'm sitting there, And I'll just be honest, I'm smoking a cigarette, I'm thinking I'm cool in my car, and I'm about to pull out of this place, you know, and I see this jogger coming down the road. And I thought, I'll be cool, I'll let the jogger, I'll look cool here, you know, whatever. And also I'm like, oh, crud, I know that jogger. And it was a youth director that worked with my sister in a ministry down in that area. And I'm thinking, oh, crap. So I do the look in the back seat. Oh, my gosh. I forgot something. I'm hoping that he doesn't recognize me. He hadn't seen me since I'd buzzed my head and then in the military. And all these thoughts, oh, man, he's going to tell my sister. Oh, man, I'm busted. Oh, no. You know, my family's going to find out this life that I'd started living. Forgot about it for a few days, but I get home from my friends, and I've only got a couple days left on leave. I'm about to head off. And my mom's like, hey, oh, perfect timing, Aaron. Sean's on the phone for you. I'm not here, you know. But she had told him, and I'm like, oh, great. So I pick up the phone and said, hey, Darren, I'm wondering if you saw me the other night. Yeah. He said, hey, can we just go get some breakfast or something? I'm like, oh, great, you know. And I knew the mistakes. I mean, I knew my life was, I wanted to get it back on track. But here's the thing, in that moment, in that time with him, I said, you know, I told him my story. And I said, you know, I just, it's frustrating because I know I ruined the opportunity the Lord had given me to work with youth and ministry. And he looked at me and he said, what? He said, we serve a God of reconciliation. We serve a God who can redeem a fallen life. And he said, I think God can make your ministry greater than you ever thought. God takes that which we fail and he uses it for his glory. 2 months later, I'm the associate youth pastor at a church in San Diego where I'm down there serving in the military. And God completely turned my life around. And even in that, I found that my ministry has impacted more kids, more young people that are struggling in pornography in those situations than it probably ever would have before. And not that God wanted me to fail to go through that, but God takes our mistakes and He uses them for His glory. Yeah, did I prolong that fulfillment of God's promise in my life? Yes. But we serve a loving God who is faithful to bring us right back around that we may be able to continue to do His work and do the things that He's called us to do. Amen. God's promises are a gift. God's promises lead to rest. God's promises give us strength. And God's promises are always fulfilled. Let's be people who read His promises. Let's be people who know His promises and allow His promises to be fulfilled in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word. What an amazing word this is, Lord. The fact that the God of this universe, who's perfect in every way, would continue to love a bunch of people who continue to sin and fail and make mistakes. And Lord, that in the midst of that, You still are faithful to Your promises. I know in this world we live in, if someone messes up, we want to remove that. Well, fine, I was going to do that, but You messed up, so not anymore. But that's not the way You are. That's not the God that You are. You are a God that is faithful to fulfill His promises, regardless of whether we're faithful or not at times, Lord. But again, in that, we have to take hold of Your promises. We have to possess them, Lord. Take possession of that which You've given us, Lord. And Lord, my desire and my prayer for all of us in this room is maybe there are things that, Lord, failures in our life that have maybe even made us feel like I did, that promise wasn't for me anymore. I've messed up. I failed. How could God still want to do those things in my life? But You do, Lord. You don't care the mistakes. You don't care the failures. Your desire is to fulfill Your promises in each of our lives. And Lord, we thank You for that. May we learn to walk in Your promises. May we learn to grab hold of Your promises and allow Your promises to be filled in each and every one of us, Lord. That is my prayer this morning. May we go out of here with confidence, Lord, knowing that we serve a God that's faithful to fulfill His promises. May we go out of here with that hope that gives us the strength that we need to press on and to persevere in this life, Lord, because You're faithful to fulfill Your promises, Lord. May we go out of here and in the midst of the storm experience rest in You because You're faithful to fulfill Your promises, Lord. We thank You for this word. May it penetrate each of our hearts where we're at, Lord. We thank You and we just give it to You in Jesus' name. Amen.